Hello and welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, one of the co-founders of Jake and Gino. And in this podcast, we have Michal and Vanessa. Michal is an immigrant from Poland and Vanessa is a California transplant born to El Salvadorian parents that immigrated to the U.S., as Michal's parents did, in search of the American dream. While working full-time, they began to explore multifamily real estate in 2020 and have acquired 80 multifamily units since then. Michal and Vanessa are long-term buy-and-hold investors and are passionate about investing in Albuquerque with the goal of revitalizing distressed properties, improving neighborhoods, and providing clean, safe, and well-maintained homes for their residents. Welcome to the show, you two.
Thank you very much. You know, we're so happy to be here.
Multifamily real estate. Michal, you start first. What attracted you to start buying apartments and dealing with crazy residents?
Great question, Gino. So, you know, our journey really started back in 2006. We started acquiring single family homes over the course of about 8 years. I'm sorry, even more than that, maybe about 12 years. We acquired 4 single family homes and we just thought it's probably a good idea to have other assets beside our 401k, beside our company sponsored retirement plans. But then in 2019, you know, we all have kind of bad days. And so I think I had a string of bad days at work. I said, boy, there's got to be something else out there. So I started going to meetups locally. I started listening to podcasts. I'd never listened to podcasts. And as I started going to these meetups, I started learning about this huge world of real estate. And really from that point, started honing in on, well, what type of asset class do we really want to focus on? And as we started that filtering process, multifamily just rose up to the top, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Vanessa, be honest with me. When he was having those string of bad days and he came to you and said, we're going to buy multifamily, were you like, yay, that's a great idea? Or like, Michal, seriously, bro, we have enough problems here. Why do we got to get into another problem? Honestly, what was going through your mind when he proposed that to you?
My initial reaction, which is odd for me, because usually I like to joke first, ask questions later. I was reluctant. I'm like, I really like buying newer, smaller, you know, single family homes. And the initial deal he showed me was like this 1968 ugly 8-plex in an area in town where I'm like, so I was hesitant. But then I started listening to the same podcasts, going to the same real estate meetups. And it didn't take me long to really get on board with multifamily after that. I did not go through to the initial walkthrough of this ugly 8-plex that we did end up buying, which is probably good because I probably would have said no way. But, you know, now it's, you know, revitalized, beautiful property. Probably, I mean, the returns we've gotten on that property has been just, it's one that we're, even though it's 1968, we've kept it through the last 5 years. And it's doing really well. And it really was where we learned a lot about to do whatnot.
So Michal, was there a reason why you didn't bring her to that property? Because you knew she'd be like, we ain't doing this. Your dreams are crushed even before you start your multifamily journey. So you're like, you know what? I'm going to go do this deal. I understand the numbers. You know, you can't see the beauty in the ugliness. This beauty is in the eye of the beholder. Let me at least figure this out. Was that what you were thinking about? Is that why Vanessa didn't go with you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we sell the OM and the OM is, as a lot of brokers, their job is to make it look as positive as possible. But even that was difficult for them to do. I'll tell you this. I walked through this property and there was one unit where there was a tenant in there that was fixing and repairing his motorcycle inside the unit. So it had oil stains all over. It had motorcycle parts scattered. He was cleaning the parts in his kitchen sink. If Vanessa would have gone there, with me on that first walkthrough, we wouldn't have been where we are here. She would have stopped me dead in my tracks and said, absolutely not, we're not doing this.
So Michal, today, when you see a property like that, you're saying to yourself, well, there goes another 200 grand off the price. We want to see that kind of stuff. Whereas when you're first starting out, you're like, I can't look at this. Whereas now it's like another one of those. But Vanessa, this is an important question because there's a lot of couples that do this together, especially in the Jake and Gino community, myself included. When I started out, I had to convince my wife of actually getting into this and giving me the, what's the word I can say? She gave me not even the confidence, but I'm investing our life earnings into this asset. And if I'm going to walk through a deal with my wife and she sees a guy fixing his motorcycle in an apartment, she's going to think I'm nuts. So, I mean, how did you guys come together, sit down, plan this? Because this is a completely new venture, completely scary. How did you guys make that decision together?
Yeah. So thinking back on this one, we remembered it wasn't just the property that was difficult. The closing was very challenging on this one. So from a blessing perspective, it took 4 months. Six months to close on this first property. It was owned by lawyers that,
Do we need to say more?
So there was a lot of back and forth negotiation. I think for us, it was really the property manager that that took over property management of it while it was under contract with us. And he partners really closely with this broker. And he actually negotiated several things that were amazing. So, for example, with the seller, he negotiated doing some minor, very light renovations on some of the vacated units to get it rented, right? Mm-hmm. And prove to us that, hey, this is a viable, you know, this is something that this is a product that the community wants to live in, right? So he did that. He also negotiated getting the roof repaired while it was under contract. So there was a lot of those things that happened, and he kept telling us, this is one of the most complicated deals we've gone through, but hang in there. And I think it really was his calm and his experience navigating through situations like this that kept us calm and like, oh, okay, well, we're not in this alone. And if it wasn't for that, I think we would have failed just, you know, because of all the different types of, we closed right at COVID, right at the beginning of COVID. So it, you know, there was all these reasons why we could have stopped, but it really was, I think, an experienced broker and property manager that took us through the process that kept us open.
That is awesome. And what ended up, after you closed this deal and you're getting the deal, what made you join Jake and Gino? What were the holes in the business that made you say, hey, I need help? Because I'm going to be honest with you, that story is, I don't want to say it's rare, but it's really uncommon for beginning investors to find somebody as qualified and somebody as helpful on your first deal, because you don't know what you don't know. You don't even know that you can ask for a roof replacement. You don't even know you can get, you know, rent-ready units, let's say. That's obviously for that part of the market cycle, and it's coming back, but that's pretty incredible that you got a lot of that. And it's a testament to you guys. We're saying, hey, I don't have an ego here. I need help. You know, help me out here. So that's really, and Jake and I did a little bit of that on our first deal. We didn't know that, wow, they're going to paint these units for us. They're going to fix these, you know, roofs as well. But when you're there and you're joining Jake and Gina, what were some of the challenges that you were having in the business?
Sure. So, boy, where do I begin? So before we joined Jake and Gino, we had acquired, I believe, at that point, we were at about 50-some units. And so we cut our teeth on a variety of things, on proper underwriting, on managing the operations. I mean, we do partner with a third property property management company. However, you know, we were just learning as we go. You know, we read books, we listened to podcasts, we listened to the Jake and Gino podcast numerous times. And it wasn't until we met our good friends, whom you know, Michael and Vanessa Sanchez. And we actually started a mastermind locally with them and the fifth person that's in our mastermind. And they're the ones who really implored us to explore some more formal education, if you will. And they had just joined your program. And they were seeing some of the troubles that we were seeing, that we were experiencing, excuse me. And they said, you know, we think that this program could really help you out. So there was a lot of areas where we needed help. I think on the operations side, I think there was so many things that were just aha moments that even though, like Vanessa said, we partnered with an experienced third party property management company, we can teach you L. as we through the Jake and Gino program, like, wow, have you heard of, you know, this this concept of pet rent? And they're going, well, no, we've heard of it, but we're not sure that that's going to really work in our market. And we said, well, why don't we try it out, you know? And I mean, there's a lot of utility build back. I mean, there's so many examples that we could share. We probably don't have enough time on this podcast.
That's awesome. And the interesting thing is people say, should I get education before or get education after? It's always indifferent and unique for everyone. For you guys, you're already at that point where you had some assets and you have the bottleneck. The bottleneck is there where all of a sudden there's problems that you don't know how to solve, or there's opportunities that you don't really understand yet. And jumping into that and going, oh, wow, okay, I can't be the person that bought that first deal because I've got a lot of other assets under management. I've got a job that I can't, you know, do my real estate full time. So how do I continue to scale and to grow? Vanessa, I want to ask you, buy right, manage right, and finance right. What does that look like to you guys now? And what did that look like when you started? I mean, did you even have the concept of, you know, what your buy right was? Did you have a concept of financing? And how has that evolved over the last couple of years?
So let's see. I think when we started talking, we always considered ourselves long-term buy and hold investors, right? But for us, buy and hold, Matt, you hold it forever, right? And going to the first, I think BuyRight, listening to Bill Hamm talk about the conveyor belt concept and us realizing like, hey, you know, and I think these were his words, your kids don't want to inherit your old decrepit properties that you bought. You know, they're going to learn how to run a business and manage a business and that kind of thing. But that, I think, gave us another perspective of what buy and hold could be, meaning that we could 1031 into maybe a newer property that's not going to have CapEx tsunamis that we expect with some of the properties that we originally were purchasing. It taught us to look at, you know, every time we purchased a new property, our approach was adding value by renovation, right? And then the Jake and Gino aspect of it is by operation, right? Look for those opportunities as well. And I think we got really comfortable with the renovating these older properties, thinking that we had dealt with all the CapEx. We've done projects where we've redone those sewer lines, the water lines, and new moves, and those are big renovations. And yet we still have had issues with one of our properties. We did all the water lines, but they were two different buildings, and we didn't do that particular line that linked the two buildings that was under the concrete, the slab, right? And of course, that's where we have the issue. So thinking back to the Bill Hamm, you know, of there's still CapEx in these older properties. So now we're looking at newer properties, at least 1980s, right? And now we've also applied some of the, I'll say, operational improvements that Jake and Dino teaches in the Manage Right. We obviously see still an opportunity because we're still doing renovations, right, on some of the newer properties and repositioning them. We do have an opportunity to go back and apply more of the Manage Right concepts with our property manager as a partner. And that's a continued thing. We meet with them once every Friday, every other Friday. And there's I think there's an opportunity for continuing that collaborative approach to improving.
And I think I'll add also that not only did we get a lot of help and aha moments on the operational side, but also on the buy right side, because when we were underwriting properties, there was opportunities that we were leaving on the table that we just didn't know about, you know? Mm-hmm. I had mentioned the utility bill back and some of these ancillary fees that are just critical to your operations and critical to your bottom line that we weren't aware of. So I think in some cases, before we joined the program, we were leaving deals on the table because we didn't know that the opportunities existed.
That's an awesome revelation to me. And I was going to say, Michal, you don't have to really add anything because Vanessa really crushed the answer. Because I love what she said, because it's, for me, the answer really boils down to it's your paradigm. When you're younger and you're less experienced, your paradigm is very narrow. It's very focused. But as you get more experience, if your ego doesn't take over, your paradigm starts to shift and it starts to grow. And you start to be able to look at things from a different perspective. You may not agree with Bill Hamm, but and I do agree with him, but it depends upon where you are in your journey. Early on, it's okay to buy older assets. It's okay to create equity because that's where you get a lot of deals. And it's okay to think of buying and holding, let's say forever, but that may not be the right strategy earlier on where you're just trying to buy deals, getting them on what we call our conveyor belt, letting that equity matriculate. And then either you can refi the deal if you like the area, if you like the build, or you just sell it and you step up. Now, if you talk to somebody who's inexperienced and they want to go out generational wealth and legacy wealth, they may say, no, I'm going to buy and hold forever. But that may not be suitable for the time period that you're in. And I think it's important. And even with like other strategies, I'm never going to get investors. I'm never going to syndicate. Well, time out. You may want to pivot to that because you're trying to really create a business through real estate, and being able to velocitize your portfolio is important. So I think, Vanessa, what you said is so crucial for any investor is if you're stuck in a certain area and you're not growing and you're not learning and you're not allowing other information or other advice to permeate, you're going to be stuck doing the same thing. Everything looks like a nail if you've got a hammer. And it's interesting. You both have learned the market cycle changes. What you guys did back in 2019 did not work in 2022. Good luck getting somebody to fix your roof. They're going to tell you to fly a kite. I got 17 other offers. Now it's like, oh, yeah, I'll fix your roof. What else do you want? I need to sell the property. So it's very important that what you said, and it's continuous and constant learning. And if you're out there saying, should I join a community? My answer to you is not only join one community, but then a couple of years later, invest into another community because you get different perspectives from different educators and different groups because they're teaching different things. To me, that's what's important to me. Now, you two have bought your own deals. Michal, you're talking a little bit about possibly looking into syndication. What have you, I mean, what else has changed with your mindset about buying these deals and trying to grow your portfolio?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So one of the, as we said, it's only been Vanessa and I. I mean, we have a team, we have a contractor, we have a third party property management company because we still work W-2 jobs. We've got a CPA. But one thing that we haven't done is we haven't completed a JV and partnered with somebody else. So, so we've always felt like we need to do this on our own. We need to learn on our own. We need to do this the hard way. But that's the old Michal, Now we're looking at, well, are there partnerships that we can form with others to take down these larger properties? When, we've got several properties where the loans are maturing next year and then the next couple of years. So we have those opportunities to now potentially sell those properties and partner with somebody else on a much larger property. And the value proposition that I think we bring is we cut our teeth on a lot of these properties. We have a lot of experience now. So to be able to grow and scale, I think this is in our cards now, and I think we're ready for it.
Vanessa, what would you say?
I think for us that in terms of a mind shift change, it really is realizing how much work it takes to shift from having your pure W-2 mindset to a more mindset. I think that was our biggest takeaway from the JAG program, is how much effort that takes if that's not something that you grew up with or experience, or that's not how you lived your life, right? So I think I've read all of the books that you've recommended and then some. I'll say before this program, I was, I only read in college and to get through. And just it opens up, podcast was what I did. But there's so much knowledge out there, so much knowledge in the community, so much that we've grown as, I'll say, as business owners, as leaders, even so much applicable to my W-2 job. It's been I think for us is that shift. And that's where we continue to go back to and realize that we're going to have that tendency to want to go back to the safety, just you and I type of mentality. So really reaching out for partnership opportunities is going to be our next step.
Now, this question is for both of you, but I want Michal to address it first. Isn't it wonderful and terrific and yet very challenging at times to work with your significant other? How have you guys been able to make it work? Because for me personally, my wife is amazing, but sometimes she hopefully will not hear this recording. I can drive her nuts. She can drive me nuts. And it can be very challenging. But at the same time, there's no work-life balance. I love to spend time with her. I'm writing a book right now. I want to get her feedback on my front cover. And I love to get that feedback. I love to do coaching calls with her. But it can be challenging. How have you guys both made it work?
Well, I think Vanessa might answer this a little bit differently than me. But Vanessa truly has been my rock in this journey. We take two different perspectives. Both of us are introverts. I think I'm a little bit more more amiable. But she tends and Vanessa tends to just want to jump into a deal, whereas I tend to be a little bit more analytical also. And so when we take a look at a deal, we look at it from really two different perspectives, and oftentimes we're meeting in the middle. I think sometimes Vanessa might win out a little bit more. Sometimes I might win out a little bit more. But in the end, having those two different perspectives really ensures that we can find a good deal and that we have a good business plan once we do acquire that property. What else would you add, Vanessa? So what do you think?
How do we make it work? I think part of it is understanding that we have the two different styles when we approach, you know, whether it's analyzing a property or renovating. So meeting in the middle has been a good approach for us. Is that, you know, I think there's often times where I'm going to want to over renovate and put, you know, fancy backsplashes in. He's like, well, where's the ROI on that? You know, it's a balance that we have. I think the other piece is, making that space for ourselves. Well, we're not talking about real estate. We're not talking about big tunes. We're really just trying to focus on, you know, getting sure that we have and making time for those date nights or that alone time without even kids and, you know, around. So just having our family quietly.
That's awesome. If I'm listening to this and I want to get into multifamily and I've never done it before, maybe I might have a couple of single family homes. What are the couple of things that you would recommend? What are the couple of things that you guys are doing in the very beginning to get started into this business? Michal, you can go first.
Absolutely. So first and foremost, I think this is said often, but we can't stress it enough. There's two primary components is you have to have the education and you have to take action. Without those two key components, you're not going to be successful. I started, like I said, I started listening to podcasts. I had never done that before. I started going to meetups and it really opened up my eyes. But we really didn't learn this business until we bought that first apex. And we dealt with that tenant that was, renovating his motorcycle in his unit. And so I would say that those are the two primary steps is getting your education and actually taking action.
Love that. Vanessa?
I'd say getting around people that are doing what you want to do. So it's being in that community of people that are investing in multifamily that are essentially already where you want to be in the future. And this community provides that for you. There's people at different stages. There's people taking different approaches to multifamily. So whatever your interest in.
Now that you said that, where do you see yourselves in, let's say, the next 3 to 5 years? Is it continuing to buy multifamily? Is it possibly going into the business full time? Is it, like you said, JVing? Is it possibly doing a syndication? What's on the horizon for you two?
There's a couple of things. One is I will say that I've had a passion for several years now to do ground up construction. And so that's an area where we keep exploring. We've underwritten a couple of land deals over the last couple of years. We've met with a couple of developers. But in addition to the JVing portion, that's something that's a passion project of mine. And so at one point, I would love to be able to do ground up development for multifamily.
Okay, as far as passion, why is that passionate for you? Where is that coming from?
I think I've always grown up as being like a builder type, if you will. I mean, it's funny because I had
I've grown up with Legos and I love Legos. I still have my Legos to this day. And we play with Legos with my son almost on a daily basis. And so for some reason, I've had this builder mentality. And we've applied it. We built our own house about 6 or 7 years ago. We enjoyed that process, very stressful, but we still enjoyed it. And so I think it's something that's just ingrained in me. And, you know, so multifamily construction is hopefully in my cards in the future.
That's awesome. It's one of those things with me as well. I don't know why. I like to see something that isn't there and then something come to life that's really beautiful. It's just like, wow. And that's why those flipper shows for me are great. I mean, if me and my wife ever did flipping, we'd be amazing. We'd be stressed all the time. You have 17 projects going on because she's great she's the mom. So she's got the calendar. She can get all the contractors. And I never scratched that itch. I just bought another house, but I can feel the passion. And if I was you, just continue to look into that because that market cycle is going to come back for that. And that's something where you build that's generational. That's legacy where you build a 6-unit or an 8-unit. That's something where you can hold for the next 20 or 30 years and it ain't going to get old. So that's an awesome idea. I love that. And Vanessa, what about you?
So definitely not building. Just kidding.
I mean, he's got an itch. He wants to scratch the itch. Let him scratch it a little bit. Don't kill his dream.
That's a joke. I really do feel like that would be an amazing experience to have. I mean, so we got to experience it with our personal ass then. And when we renovate some of these properties that we have, we're almost rebuilding them anyway. So you'd say, why don't we just do this from scratch? I do see that in our future. I also see us taking a little bit of a pause. Right now, we're renovating a 24 unit. We're on schedule to have it completed. Is it November?
Calendar year.
I would love, you know, a little bit of a pause to go back through all of our properties and look at operational improvements. We have a lot that I think we could do. And get ourselves in again, focusing on our business and seeing where are those improvements that we can make. And also, you know, that would help, you know, fund this development dream really has. So that's basically a little bit less exciting, but practical.
No, let me tell you something. I think everybody listening to what Vanessa just said, it's truly important not to outgrow your infrastructure and get ahead of your skis, where a lot of people have done that over the last couple of years. It's really sexy and it's really nice to have kids and to buy deals. They need to be raised properly. And the fact that you're doing this 24 unit, you're getting it rehabbed, repositioned, and it's time to take a pause and go back and pick up dollars that are just, you know, not being caught. And it's our natural inclination to continue to grow and continue to look at deals. And if you're listening to this, it's okay to take a pause. It's okay to say, hey, you know, and it's hard because you think the next opportunity is never going to come. I think your idea is actually really good because in the next 6 to 12 months, there will be opportunities, but I think there's going to be more opportunities within the next 12 months. So if you need to take a pause right now in your portfolio and you have not problems with managing, but you know you can institute rubs or you can build a dog park or you can get the laundry in the common areas really up to snuff or you can get your maintenance coordinator set up so you have much better communication with the managers and maintenance techs, that's going to allow you to put that next asset on, not stress the infrastructure that you have and make a really good decision about buying the next deal. So that's something where you're really building a real business and not just going out there and collecting buildings because anybody can go out and collect a building, but you got to make that building profitable for the short term and for the longer term. So I totally agree with what you guys are doing. I love that answer. Where can the listeners get a hold of you to learn more information about you, possibly to JV with you, possibly to see if they want to invest with you down the road?
Sure. So the best way to get a hold of us is my phone number, and that's 505-440-7244. You can also go to our website. It's lucasaproperties.com. So it's L-U-C-A-S-A properties.com. And we would love to hear from the Jake and Juno community. We've met a lot of great folks already there, but also anybody else who's listening to this podcast or watching it now.
And I went to Ireland on a couples coaching retreat with Mike, Michal, and Vanessa. And it was phenomenal. And it's not just about buying multifamilies. It's really about working on yourself. And you really need to create the foundation. And, you know, when I wrap up this interview, it's all about that foundation where Michal and Vanessa, they started with a single family. They didn't jump into 100 units. And then they said, well, how do we scale? How do we get bigger? And you know, going to a meetup, meeting other people, and then walking and taking on an 8-unit, which some people may say that's not a lot, but 8 units when you've never done it, it's great. It's building the foundation and then working on those 8 units, getting those 8 units done, and then moving on to the next deal and not outgrowing your infrastructure and making sure that foundation is strong. That's what's going to lead to a profitable business. And it may take you another year or another 2 years to become successful. It's okay. Life is not all about rushing. Life is about making really good decisions. Like Michal said, it's education. It truly, you need to understand what you're doing. And then it's action and implementation. You have to learn what you need to do next, take that action, and also help somebody helping you make that implementation. So listen, it's been an honor and privilege to know you guys, to have you guys on the show. And once again, give me that website.
It's www.lucasaproperties.com.
Thank you, guys. I want to thank everybody for taking a few minutes out of their day listening today to this amazing story. And I will see you all on next week's Movers and Shakers. Thanks, everyone.